Hi, everybody. I'm Gene Simmons, and you're not. And you are listening to the number one KISS podcast, Shout It Out Loudcast, with Tom and Zeus. But you knew that. Now get out of here.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Oy.
Down.
Kiss.
Stop pressing the button.
Star Roger Simmons.
Star?
Paul Stanley. Is that what he does?
Stop shouting.
Ace Frehley.
He's not what you would call a handsome man.
Oh, no. Here come the Kiss times. Is that a positive thing? Okay.
All right.
I'm going to grab me an ice cold mellow yellow.
Why? Why do that to the fan?
Stop it.
Why?
Because fuck. Talking
617-525.
You do? Hey, fucko!
Do you like
Kiss? Settle down.
Hello! Hey, what's up there, Kiss Army? Tom and Zeus with another episode of Shout It Out Loudcast. Another season of Shout It Out Loudcast. This is the opening episode of season 6. So technically it's our 5th anniversary.
It's our 5-year anniversary, January 2019.
Yeah. And episode 257, we're calling this one Bruce Kulick, End of the Road and More.
Hey guys, End of the Road.
Been a long road. Fantastic. Full of flapjacks. Love it.
Bruce.
So you guys, we'll get into this, as we always do before. Yep. We're going to give you a little preview of what you're going to be in store for, but you're going to love it. But Tom, last week we wrapped up the season, and what we always do when we wrap up a season is a year in review, where we go through the episodes. I think we forgot to talk about what Kiss did, but that's all right. Fuck them.
Fuck them is right. And technically last episode was last year.
Yeah.
So we could say that if we want to. Yeah. Yes. What they did, Kiss did nothing.
You know what Kiss did? They played the same song set list for a bunch of times on what's called the End of the Road Tour. That's really the gist of it.
You know what Kiss did? Kiss did the live action version of, you know why? Because fuck them. That's why. Yeah. That's what they did.
Yeah, basically. Anyway, Tom, we did a poll, and I think it was more about like what we, our type of episodes and stuff, right?
Yeah, we asked everybody what our favorite episode was or what their favorite episode was. And we kind of picked the four biggies, or at least what we thought. And that was our weekend recap episode of Gene in Las Vegas, the weekend recap episode of New York City, Madison Square Garden, obviously the final shows, the Festivus episode, and the Shout It Out Loudcast Hall of Fame episode. I was a little surprised here. Gene weekend recap wins the poll very slightly at 34%. And then in a dead heat at 29% was New York City recap and Festivus. And apparently only 9% of the people like the Hall of Fame. And that was probably the people that are in it.
Yeah, that was Joey Quesada that actually probably picked that.
Yep. Yep.
Joey Quesada.
Uncle Pauly says, angry and annoyed Tom and Zeus episodes are always my favorites. Sprinkling some Joey Quesada with that spot on Jerry Jewell impression, and you have podcast perfection. West Beach, our good buddy, says a toss up with the Hall of Fame. Kiss is ripe for the grievances and the indictment. Ooh, was Joey Quesada indicted? Not yet. I don't think so. Well, that's what it says, but I don't think West meant that, but I think he was hysterical and historical. Yes. Mike. Simply Mike chimes in. The Bruce interview and the Holly interview are high on my list. Well, guess what? You're lucky because you get to kick off the year with another fantastic Bruce interview. And this is probably the most actual interview that we've done with Bruce. A couple other comments here.
Hey, Tom, by the way, our Instagram poll.
Yeah.
We did one, too, as well about, like, you know, what type of episodes and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that. The evening with Gene was 47%.
Wow.
The wrap up of New York 24. And then also the Festivus episode was 22 and Hall of Fame 7.
Yeah.
People really like that Gene
Wrap well, up. I think probably because that episode, that episode itself and the event itself was way more fun than fucking what went on in New York City, yeah. Putting aside the you know, hanging out with all of our buddies and stuff. Yeah. One other comment here, our buddy Steve. Holy shit, that year really flew by. It's only when you have a review of the year that you remember how many great episodes and amazing guests you had. Thanks for everything, guys. Here's to another amazing 12 months ahead. He's right. He brings up a great point. As we were going through the list of every episode, it's like, holy shit, was that year great? If we can pat ourselves on the back, which we don't do that often. And it flew by. It really flew by. And it was just a fantastic year. And again, that's thanks to all the Loudcasters out there. You guys rock. So that is Twitter.
All right, Tom, over on the Book of Face, let's get to it. We got a bunch of comments, which was a surprise on a year in review. Wow. But God, if I laugh, I'll start fucking coughing too much. Joey, don't call me Ray Romano Romanek.
Oh, Jesus.
Awesome show. What other podcast can do a review of 52 episodes without it becoming a snooze fest? Thanks, Tom and George, for another year of amazing shows, tons of laughs, and an absolute best KISS podcast on the planet. And thank you to all the Loudcasters for being the best KISS community out there, even to the ones that said I should be fired for taking a photo of a couple KISS belts. Remember that? The belt buckles?
The buckles, yeah.
Happy New Year to everyone, especially you guys sitting on rented furniture.
Nice, Joey.
Yes, and then I think somebody put a Ray Romano photo up. And then somebody put up a Potsy photo. I think it's Murph and him
Murph.
Back and forth.
That's right.
Kevon Japson.
Giggity, 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 giggity.
Another amazing year, man. So happy what you guys have built. Finally, the hidden track is back. I love those. And what a shit story. You.
That's true.
The Greek Thunder from Down Under. Thanos Akratidis.
All right.
Boys, what a great year. Thank you for giving us such great entertainment and making the weekend listening along with ARC and Dorm Damage midweek show so informative, funny, and enjoyable. Ultimately, thank you for being every bit as genuine as I'd hoped you'd be when we met New York. I felt like I really known you guys for years, not to mention the other great Loudcasters, which we met along the way. Tally, Gary, and Morty.
That will never get old.
Hope all you have a great new year. Can't wait for the new episodes. Hopefully meeting up again future for more shenanigans.
Yes.
The great Tally Faulkner.
Oof. She is turning into just a star.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. What?
I'm not going to go there. No.
Star?
I have a running gag with her that she's going to be part of the Patreon tier. And there's always something like, oh, I used to wear those type of pants when I was young. I'm like, yeah, that's going to be part of the Patreon tier, the Tally Faulkner.
That'll be the $50 Tally tier.
Oh, yes. If anyone needed a reminder as to why you are the number one KISS podcast, this episode was it. As you read along, be warned that you hear a lot of me, myself, and I. Because, well, this is about my experience. I caught myself reminiscing while listening to this year in review. And to my surprise, I got a bit emotional about it. No, Tom Azuz did not make me cry per se. But reliving this year's podcast big moments, such as the announcement of the last two New York City concerts and the excitement and sadness it evoked. Or my favorite episode, 2023, Bob Kulick and KISS with Bruce Kulick. Not only did I get to go on the journey about my own KISS fandom, but I was also reminded how much Shout It Out Loudcast intertwined with it all. You guys have been a part of my life for a few years now, and to finally have met you at those historical concerts was certainly part of the highlight of my year's recap. I have found friends here because of you, Tom and Zeus, and that in itself deserves to be highlighted. I've been a KISS fan for almost 30 years, and I, for once in my life, have people to talk about the band. You always thank us, the fans. I want to thank you. While it's hard to imagine 2024 will be better than 2023 for the podcast, you guys have consistently delivered the goods. And I will be tuning in to partake on your continued success. Finally, to quote my favorite singer, You are my people. You are my crowd.
Hmm. Oh, boy. Tally. Oof. You hit me right in the feels with that comment there. That's good stuff.
She hits a lot of us in the feels, yeah, Tom.
That's good stuff. That's all I can say.
Yes. Future Tally Faulkner Patreon tiers coming up if you sign up soon, guys. Gary Kapp. Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Gary Kapp. This was the best year for Shout Out Loudcast for many reasons. The best guests this year, the great topics, the humor, and for me, meeting more of the great people that makes this show what it is. The best KISS podcast, period. And when he says that, guys out there listening, that means a lot. Gary listens and is friends with a lot of podcasts.
A lot of people. A lot of podcast people.
And yep. He says that about us. Yep. Now, that is a great compliment, and that is why he is a Hall of Famer. But
yeah, it carries weight. It carries weight when he says it. Yep.
Yep. Thank you to Tom and Zeus for being great hosts and for being great friends. Great people like Tally, Joe Decker, Thonis, John Murphy, Brad Rusthoven, and the many others that I've met are truly what make this community like family. Happy New Year to all the Loudcasters, and 2024 promises to be even better.
Absolutely. Yep.
The great Don Jameson.
Yeah.
Best to you guys in the big 2-4.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks, Don. Glenn Barth. Raise your glasses, boys. Shout Out Loudcast 2023 was the best. It's going to be tough making 2024 better, but I have a feeling you guys are more than up to the task. The anticipated release of your book with Joey Caserta is a great start. Looking forward to it. That book's coming along. We're almost there.
We're cooking. Yep. Yep.
Make sure you tell everybody about it.
Yep.
Philippe Melander, by far my favorite podcast. Good work and keep it coming.
Thank you.
Over on Loudcasters, John Whiteman. Awesome recap in the back of the book segment was epic. That hot tale of a woman in prison had a penthouse forum energy and was described so vividly I could almost smell it. Keep up the great work.
Oh, God. Maybe I'll have a recurring segment where I pull incident reports that might have some level of humor to them, because I have access to the entire department.
Wonderful.
Yes. I can spend my lunch hour. Tom, what are you doing? Just checking out reports to see if any inmates have shit themselves.
On Instagram, Junior Vintage. In celebration of KISS's 50 years, Paul and Ace have decided to bury the hatchet and unite and do a covers album. The album will include classics like a duet of Jan Terry's Losing You and a dueling guitars version of Somebody Fought in the Minibus.
Oh, man.
Yes. Over on YouTube, KISS Remasters Film says, was thinking the same thing that the guy from Frozen Tears, that's Thonis, by the way.
That is Thonis.
Said about Desmond. He, of course, was on other shows, but his interview on your show was the best. Very cool. Thanks, lads.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Tom, that's what I got. Over to you, buddy.
All right, let's blow through a few emails here. Our buddy Tony Barone. Just listen to the year-end episode, and it is amazing. When it is all summarized on how many awesome guests that you had, you should be so proud. Thanks for building a great community of music fans. Looking forward to 2024. Thanks, Tony. You should be signing your emails. Thanks, Tony. Class of 2023 Shout Out Loudcast Hall of Fame.
I was just going to say, we can't talk about these people unless they have Hall of Fame in their resume.
Exactly.
Right?
We got one here from our buddy Scott Greer. What a great year. I know that after listening to this episode, I'll be going back to listen to a few of them again. Seriously. Holly Knight, Desmond, Bruce, Dee Snider, Meeting Gene, End of the Road concerts. Holy fuck, what a year. Michael DeBar was great, and I loved him as Dog in the Scum of the Earth episode of WKRP. I love the show with Gas. After hearing that episode, I bought the tickets and went to Austin to see his show. We'll be seeing him more when he comes around within driving distance. Safe to say this past year was the best year for you and all the Loudcasters. Then he shares a little bit of a personal note that I'm not quite sure he may want read on the show, But Scott, we appreciate that very, very much. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. You're a big supporter, and we appreciate that very, very much. This one comes from our website, shoutoutloudcast.com. When you guys send us messages on the website, they come to us in the form of an email. This comes from Anthony Hunt. His subject is, I finally found my way. Ooh. Hey guys. I'm one of the newer listeners from sunny Australia, and I just wanted to say I'm loving how you guys present your show. Finally, some humor from KISS fans. Thanks for what you're doing and keep up the good work. All right, Anthony. Oh, I love that. We love those kinds of comments. And we're going to wrap up feedback with another submission on our website, shoutoutloudcast.com, that comes to us in the form of an email from Matt Murphy. As we enter a new year, I wanted to drop you a note to say thank you for the laughs and entertainment. Before I discovered you guys, I listened to another KISS podcast that turned me off with their insider and pontificating. Finding you was like a breath of fresh air. You are not afraid to tell it like it is, but still clearly love the band. Your conversational style makes listeners feel that they are just hanging with friends, and that is really something when you consider how successful you guys are. But I really want to tell you that Shout It Out Loudcast was a bright spot this year for me. My mother was hospitalized for a long time in the winter and spring, and I spent a lot of time driving back and forth to see her. She lives on the New Hampshire line. Shout It Out Loudcast kept me laughing as I made my way back and forth. The Ace impressions almost sent me off the road more than once. And I not only reignited my love for the band, but mitigated the stress that I was going through. The show broadened my KISS horizons, even if I don't agree with you on a lot of stuff. You made me a listener for life, and I look forward to every week's episode. Please don't stop discussing the hottest band in the land. I have a sneaking suspicion that there will be plenty to talk about in the upcoming years. I wish you both the best in 2024, your friend Matt. P.S. Tom, as you might remember, I was a cop for 30 years. All I can say is that that report that you read at the end of the last episode was the epitome of law enforcement professionalism. Detailed, clear, and it really told a story. It really brought the incident to life like we were there. No need for a scratch and sniff on that one. Your friend, Matt. Well, Matt, thank you so much. Amazing, amazing stories. We love when people share personal anecdotes about the show and your KISS fandom. And we just can't thank you enough for everything that you contribute as a listener and sending us messages and emails. And for that, my friend, you are the first comment of the week of 2024.
Good answer. Good answer. Like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
Matt, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. You've been great. And this is just another reason, and what a way to start off season 6. Thank you. And Tom, another thing to be thankful for, season 6, our Patreon family. Patreon is where people can help the show. They contribute monetarily, and in turn, they get some perks from us, whether it be merch, involvement in the show, and it helps build the show. And their support and contribution goes a long way for us. And it really means that that we get to continue to grow, continue to perform, continue to do the show for you guys. And we can't thank the Patreon family enough. It's become like a family. Those in the family know what we're talking about. We actually have the Demon Tear video chat coming up soon. And we also will have a lot more stuff in store for the Patreon family. So please, if you want to help the show, you want to support us, you want us to continue, please subscribe, become a Patreon member. You can find out all about it right from our website, shoutitoutloudcast.com. It's right on the landing page, or patreon.com, or Patreon the app. Look for creators, Shout It Out Loudcast, and read all about it. And hopefully you'll join the family and join in the fun. And we really thank our Patreon family once again, and we appreciate your support.
Patreon, you guys rock. We say it every week. We're eternally grateful for everything that you do, and we like to give a little bit of something back to you for all of your support, including getting a sneak peek at what the episode's going to be on a Thursday, getting involved in what we do for our Flashback Friday social media posts, picking an album for Album Review Crew, and so much more, including video chats and just interaction on the Pantheon website as well. So please check us out, pantheon.com, or go to our website, shoutoutloudcast.com. Click on the Patreon link and find out all about it. So we thank you guys so much, and we wish all of you a happy 2024.
Tom, what we do next is we go to Kiss World. What's going on over there?
Well, Kiss themselves are relatively quiet from a band perspective, but Ace Frehley has taken it upon himself this week to pretty much shit on everybody, from Tommy Thayer saying he should get back in the breadline, to saying that Black Sabbath were a little standoffish when they toured with Kiss, to claiming that Eddie Van Halen and Yngwie Malmsteen's guitar solos suck and his are better, to also him saying that he wants to make a movie. So honestly, it's exhausting keeping up with this guy. And I know he's got an album coming out, and Kiss always used to say there's no such thing as bad press, but this fucking guy has become absolutely insufferable. I don't get it. I don't understand what he's doing.
It's funny because I was commenting last week that his girlfriend has been putting videos up of him.
Yep.
She resorted back to her being on the camera. And they put up.
And what did he say? What did he say?
A video up of them walking New York City, and then she's like, "Hey, say hi! Hey, say hi, Ace!" Nothing, crickets. He's not talking. He's just walking. And she keeps showing the video of them walking. And eventually, goes, "Gee, you keep promote this. You just loves to promote herself."
Yeah.
And you could fucking tell the shit hit the fan afterwards. All of a sudden, Ace is answering comments on the post in Facebook. Ace told her this and this, that. He's like, "Relax, buddy, I was just joking," signed Ace, and Ace is responding, people, "Oh, it was just a joke, I was just kidding." You know that was her doing damage control.
Yep.
I honestly think it's something's getting to him.
Yep.
Like, enough of this shit. I'm reading, maybe he's reading the comments and seeing how people are like, "Dude, what the fuck, man, stop having her put her video of herself on," and he's challenging her, "Stop fucking promoting yourself."
Yeah, it's just every article, like I said, he shits on Tommy Thayer. Back to the breadline. It's over now.
Dude, back to the breadline. I guarantee you Tommy has 1,000 times more money than him in the bank.
Not to mention he has a vineyard out in California, I believe it is. He's got a ton of shit. Dude, he just played 2 sold-out shows at Madison Square Garden. You're playing the Nashua VFW, for God's sake. Stop it.
Yeah, you think that Tommy wasn't compensated well?
Absolutely. He was definitely.
And does he seem like the type that wouldn't fucking take care of himself property-wise, financially? Dude, he doesn't get the fucking schlep in downtown Nashua and sleep in Tom's shed to make ends meet. Or he can't fly to Europe, Tom, because, you know, they got my passport because I haven't paid my taxes.
But the thing I don't understand, when you see that article, Tommy Thayer wasn't even brought up.
All right, Tom, the other thing was, there was a video of him. He went on some radio show.
Oh, God.
Did you see this?
Yes.
With Steve Brown. God bless Steve Brown. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, great guy.
And I've met him when he came to Worcester with Joey, and they performed with fucking Joey's buddy there. What's the name? The guy that looks like Austin Powers.
Eric Martin.
Yeah, fucking Austin Powers. That fucking, this guy's, I'll tell you about him off the record. Anybody wants to ask me what I think of that guy? Fucking dick. Oh, sorry. I said that on the air.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, fuck him. Anyway. So Austin Powers was there. Steve Brown, I met. He seemed like a real great guy. Anyway.
Yeah.
They asked Ace something like, "Oh, Ace, yeah, I'm working on a record. Ah, what is this, my 5th or 6th record? Heck, yeah, Kiss hasn't put a record out in 20 years. Like,
I know.
Like, no one asked you.
No one asked you. Exactly. That's bringing my point.
It up, dude.
He can't not. And to sit there and bring up Tommy Thayer's inability, a guitar technique, and then pile on by saying back to the breadline. Back to the breadline? That doesn't even make sense, Ace. And then you're saying that Black Sabbath, then you start shitting on, well, when we toured with Black Sabbath, they were real standoffish. Oh, yeah. Yngwie Malmsteen and Eddie Van Halen, their solos, they don't have feel like, dude, you are shitting on legends.
Yeah.
Why?
Somebody put the thought of, like, when people say that Ace's solos, you can hum them and sing.
Fine.
Them. Okay.
Fine.
What do you think that means, that Eddie Van Halen solos suck? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, guess what? Fucking Ace, go ahead and play the intro to fucking Mean Streets. Can you do that? No, you can't. But you don't hear anybody saying that you can't do that. You're different guitarists. What is it? What is in it for him to do that?
Tommy can just imitate me and he can't imitate me. He is imitating you. You know why? Because he's in Kiss. He's playing Kiss songs, you fucking idiot. Fucking what do you want him to imitate? Fucking George Lynch from Dokken? He's not going to imitate him. He's going to imitate you. The fuck, man?
It's just fucking bonkers. And the funny thing is, Zeus, me and you were talking about this week on social media. Even the fucking Ace cult is like, all right, enough. Like, even they've had it with him.
Even the pro Ace stuff or people like web pages and stuff, people are like, Jesus, he needs to cut the shit. Good luck. You thought the Ace cult is strong? Good luck insulting Eddie Van Halen online. Exactly. When I saw that in like non-Kiss posts, like Blabbermouth and all stuff, the comments were brutal. Who the fuck is this deadbeat? He hasn't done anything creative since 1978. He's fucking giving Eddie shit. Like,
yep.
And this is the kind of shit that Paul sees and he's like, huh, yeah, I'm the imbecile. Yeah.
Well, but speaking of Paul, as if fucking pandemic Paul wasn't insufferable, now we have pontificating Paul, as he always does that. But I said this, I'm like, Jesus Christ, Mike. Now that Kiss is over, now it's Paul Stanley Unleashed talking about, oh yeah, you're entitled to your opinion, but at what cost? and then he's taking pictures of how to take care of fucking
dude. I love that basil. And they, he's like, you know, when you have fresh basil, you can always put it down on a piece of paper, flatten it out, and freeze it. Dude, you're fucking Paul Stanley. How cheap are you that you have to freeze basil? You can't go to the store and buy it for $1.50?
Cash in one of those fucking gold that you're selling on your website, which, by the way, I don't know if this is true or not. Maybe somebody can confirm or deny. I'm seeing people on social media, on Facebook, posting screenshots of emails that they've received that their orders for the gold bars have been canceled.
Oh, that's great.
And that they're getting their money refunded.
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh,
you know what's great? It's like, I can only imagine the other Paul's tip of the week. You know, if you order a lot of bread, you can take off the bread tie. If you tie them together, you could probably have enough some point to make yourself a brand new homemade belt. Oh, okay. Thanks. Or you can go to the store and buy yourself a belt, you fucking cheap bastard.
Dude, these are like tips that my 80-year-old mom, you know, if you put the bread in the refrigerator, it'll last a week longer. My loaf of bread's $2. I'm okay.
Yeah. Dude, freezing fucking basil. How much basil are you eating? Like, what the fuck? You're going,
the fucking guy just hung up his boots a week ago, and now this.
Yeah, I'm just like, what the fuck? Is there a basil shortage in the world? You got to preserve your basil?
It's just, I already hate the post-Kiss world. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Well, but get used to it.
But other than that, crickets and the Gene did his event at Electric Lady. We did talk about that a little bit, and some pictures and videos are coming out. Of course, Gene's awesome as always.
Yeah. Well, that's what's going on so far.
Yeah.
Let's take a little quick break. I want to see if Ace wants to talk about anything else before we go to break. Yeah, I listened to John Bonham play drums before, but if you listen to Peter Criss down last week, I think he could do just as good a job on Good Times, Bad Times.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycom order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
All right, we're back, and just a new interview surfaced of Ace.
This guy Elvis Presley, they call him the king. I'm not really sure about that. I've seen what he can do. It's not really that impressive. I've heard some of those songs, those dance moves. That's what I look like after a bottle of Jim Beam. I can shake my hips that way, too. Just give me a couple cocktails. Guy's no king.
The only thing I like about Elvis is he's got a place called Graceland. Well, I got a place called Aceland. It's in Nashua, New Hampshire. It's a tool shed in the backyard of some podcaster named Tom. And in there, I've got shelves. I've got jars of cashews. I've got some soda and some fountain colas hidden in the back of the yard. They don't need to be in a refrigerator because it's pretty cold in Nashua. And I've got piles and piles of Ace socks all over the wall.
You realize that's the new thing now. Somebody needs to make a visualization of what Aceland looks like.
It's your shed in your backyard.
That's true. I'll just post a picture of my shed.
Back in the bread line, Tommy. Hey, by the way, Tom, can I have some bread? You hook up the space heat in the back. It's getting a little chilly.
God. Oh, boy.
Anyway, we, of course, we're going to start off the year with some Ace impressions, but let's turn the page and, let's talk about our friend Bruce. And when the shit hit the fan and we were talking to Bruce about something via emails, we go back and forth with him. He basically said, and this was no surprise, we've mentioned before. Yeah, I wasn't invited. Mm-hmm. And so when we heard that, as he said to us, yeah, he was a little bit more explicit in more detail. I wasn't invited, not I'm not going to be there, or I've got dates and I can't make it or whatever. And we were like, what the fuck? Bruce specifically said, I want to come on your show and talk about it. Mm-hmm. So do you know how long and how hard we've been sitting there going, we can't fucking wait to get him here. We can't wait. Bruce is going to fucking talk. Tell us all his thoughts. Well, he held up his end of the bargain. Bruce is here to talk about the end of the road and more on Shout It Out Loudcast. Here it is.
All right, we're kicking off 2024 and our five-year anniversary of Shout It Out Loudcast with one of our favorite guests, one of your favorite guests, and one of everybody's favorite KISS members of all time, the great, the legendary Bruce Kulick is here. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about, Bruce. Welcome to the show. Happy New Year, buddy.
Thank you. Yeah, Happy New Year. And, you know, I'm a fan of your show. And
thank you.
You guys are, we've met in person, of course, at Gene's event.
Yep.
And probably other things, too. And
Creatures Fest.
You know, yep. Yeah, Creatures Fest. And you guys always have a fun platform, you know, to discuss KISS, and you have a good sense of humor with it too. So it's awesome. Wonderful.
We're glad that you see that.
You forgot to put one part in the introduction, Tom.
Uh-oh.
And I can't believe you did that.
Oh, shout it out, Loudcast Hall of Famer.
Bruce, you made our Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
That's right. That's right. I'm sorry. I get so excited when Bruce is on. All the accolades, I get mixed up.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like I'll be in the real Hall of Fame, but the fans know that.
But Bruce, the next best thing is the shout out Loudcast.
Absolutely. Sorry, I appreciate that.
Excellent. The only bad part about this, you have to share the Hall of Fame with Joey Quesada. So
that's the number one, you know, hit at Joey. There'll be others.
That's right.
Yeah. So Bruce, this is obviously very exciting for us because, you know, throughout this whole process, the end of the road, KISS going through, everybody's excitement, all sorts of rumors, everybody's talking. We had reached out to you because we were hoping to run into you in New York. And prior to anything happening, you sent us a message. Now, obviously, we kept it private.
Yes.
You basically told us, guys, I'm not invited.
Right.
And me and Tom were both like,
yeah,
it's so hard to hold that in and be like, are you fuck. Now, this is us, not you. Are you fucking kidding me? Bruce isn't invited. So, I mean, I got to hit you with that first. When you tell me and tell Tom and the KISS Army, you weren't invited.
Well, keep
thoughts
in mind
and feelings.
That with a lot of the other people that I knew were there to be at the Garden, some of them actually guests of the band, you know, some people that are very successful that I know are friends with Gene or Paul or even Eric. Or even just some of Eric's, you know, friends that I know very well. You know, they're all descending upon New York City. And then quite a few of them reached out wondering if they would see me. And in that case, my response was just like, no, I'm not in New York and have a wonderful time. You know what I mean? I, you know, you got the little more informative thing because I know we at some point we talk about it. OK,
yeah.
So I want you to know that was not my standard response, although I think there was one day I was feeling particularly snarky that I wound up, you know, responding to a fan on Facebook. I wasn't invited. You know, why aren't you going to be, you know what I mean? And some people picked that up. I mean, I wasn't trying to make a mission of, you know, getting into that because that, you know, me being there or not isn't the biggest story of that final night. The final night was going to be what KISS wanted to present. And certainly a lot of fans are very disappointed with how they chose to handle that. That's all I keep hearing. You know, I accepted a very long time ago that I wasn't going to get an invite. And that started with, you remember when they announced the original last 50 shows? Okay.
Yes.
Right. Which turned into like 55 and then, or six, and then minus three when Paul was sick and Eric said he was really sick. So what happened was Doc McGee did a lot of press. Okay. It was interesting. There was a little bit of press from Gene and Paul, but I remember Doc was first the voice, okay? And I hung on every word when he went on. I think it might have been Mike Braun or somebody. I don't think it's when he did your show or if he's done your show. I'm not sure, Doc McGee. But he flat out, when asked about me being involved, you know, just said KISS isn't a jam band, okay? And I was kind of like, oh, this is an interesting thing to hear from him, you know. Mm. Certainly he might remember, if he wants to remember, that I not only did I play on, you know, three times I wound up playing with KISS on the cruises, I believe.
Yep.
Two times acoustic, one even with Ace there. And then the last time that they invited me, it wasn't on the last cruise. They were focusing on other things that I wasn't, you know, the whole set was just non-makeup. I wound up playing electric with them for a few songs. I don't jam, okay? I'm not a jam guy, okay? And I knew from the tone of that, I think he was trying to tell a narrative that they don't want anybody else on stage with them, okay? And that's fair enough, okay? It's your show. It's your final night. You're going to handle it the way you want. And I never for a minute believed a lot of the narratives that were coming out from both Gene and Paul about members are invited. You remember hearing that for 3 years.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, yeah.
And I know, you know, it's a good thing to say. And it's another thing when you actually have to get down to the nitty gritty. And I know for a fact that I can't speak anything about, because I don't know what's real.
Yeah.
About what Ace was maybe discussed, what Peter was maybe discussed. All I can tell you guys from my heart, and everybody knows I'm not the big bullshitter in the world. You know, if I had a discussion, okay, it doesn't really matter, because you know how many times those stories changed. Peter was mostly quiet, so I have no idea. But you know, Ace was not quiet. And obviously, we all love Ace, and he's a character. You do good imitations of him. But, he goes on Eddie.
Thanks, Bruce.
Yeah, there you go. You know, with AI now, you're going to be out of a job.
Yeah, I know.
It's true.
So, you know, in the sense of those guys who absolutely take precedent on that last night over me, because without Ace and Peter, they wouldn't have been the Kiss that we all love, and what was able to give me a platform from my era, and et cetera, et cetera. And then for them to celebrate and be in makeup with the reunion with even Tommy and Eric, you know, using those characters for right or wrong when the fans don't like it. But let's face it, those guys are pros, so they did it to the best of their ability. And that's why it was a functioning, working machine. And it just seemed, from what the fans told me, because I know my take was no expectations, no hope that I was going to be a part of this, that I did not expect my name to be brought up. I didn't expect anything from the tone of Doc's interview, okay? Nothing would happen regarding my era other than, all right, the tour book has some things through the years, and occasionally there's a photo on the stage. But this point of not ever mentioning, and this is what I heard because I didn't watch the pay-per-view, but nobody was ever mentioned, to not discuss Kistery on your final night, I think was a really big missed opportunity by the band, okay? I don't feel it served the narrative 3 years, right? Now, let's not forget the avatars, because I think it was something that could have clouded the entire decision as to how they want to handle the last night. They obviously spent a lot of time with some company, you know, that pitched this idea. And very few people really know much about it other than what they've told, okay? And of course, they filmed themselves to be able to create the, that God gave rock and roll, which I have a little guilty pleasure in hearing my guitar blasting through the garden at the end of the show. Yeah. You know?
Interesting. Yes.
Kind of odd that the biggest connection to Meyer and Kistery with me is the Avatars.
The Avatar, for right now. Yeah.
That's not the purpose of the Avatars, to do the Revenge album. You know, clearly that's not it. But it's such a great song. They couldn't leave out that. Otherwise, they didn't play anything from my era. You know that. They hadn't been concentrating. In fact, I believe the last show was very similar to the previous ones, you know, from what I was told.
Yes.
All I could say was I think there was some angle that they figured, all right, we did it, you know, we made it, this is it, you know, let's celebrate. Let's face it, the promotion in New York was huge and well executed, except for the golden tickets and the stuff for the fans. But I'm just saying, the sense of promoting that Kiss is ending in New York, where it all began, was amazing, between, you know, the Statue of Liberty and the New York Post and all the pop-up stores and the merchandise. They're amazing at all that. And you can tell, though, with the decision of ignoring Kistery on the last night, and then the final thing with the smoke, and then all of a sudden Paul's voice, I don't know if he did that live or that was off of the, the intro of it. I couldn't tell where he mentions that Kiss will be immortal. Okay. And then all of a sudden that starts and everybody's like, what is this? Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I got to admit, I mean, there's something really, we can debate the Avatars until we're, you know, blue in the face. It doesn't really matter. It's not ready yet to sell, to see what the market is. But for them now, the Avatars, I think they lost sight of everything they did and only wanted to concentrate on this, you know, eternal version of Kiss. Okay. And the bigger shock for me personally was, wait a minute. And, you know, Eric's my friend, Eric Singer, you know, and it's Eric as the Avatar and it's Tommy as the Avatar. And they both look more like the real people than even Ace and, I mean, rather than Paul and Gene.
Yes.
And that brought up a lot of like, whoa, I got to talk to Eric about this, even though what Eric is like, I don't know anything. You know what I mean? It was just like, we went in one day and we did this, and I, you know, they knew they couldn't actually sell it or do anything for a long time. So it was, there wasn't even a conversation. There was nothing to talk about. I would have done the same thing if I was in the band at the time. Oh, put the suit on. Let me do my thing, you know, but why would they not? All right. So let's go through the logistics of the last night. Opportunities missed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're not going to invite Ace and Peter. It's too difficult. It's the, you know, the relationships are too complex and it's like a dysfunctional family. I get it. Yeah, everybody knows I get along with everybody. You know, there I am jamming with Gene here in Las Vegas, and Paul keeps in touch and he always says kind things. And, you know, but I'm not, you know, I can't necessarily be the one to physically be there when Ace and Peter are clearly not going to be there because of whatever went down with their supposed discussions. And again, I have no facts for that I can really speak. So then no one should be there. Nobody should jam. Okay. Nobody should get a shout out. Okay, fine. Then you don't. Well, what I mean by a shout out, I mean, point to them, you know, like the way, like at a wrestling event,
sure,
where they bring out and they celebrate a former wrestler or something. So they chose not to do that. Then certainly the names could be said. Why not? I mean, how do you ignore an Eric Carr on your final night of your career? Okay. How do you not maybe mention, besides, I don't want to sell any more that Ace and Peter should have been mentioned and been a part of that in some way. And then, of course, me and maybe even a Vinnie Vincent or Mark St. John, whatever. You definitely could have mentioned them. Or I would have thought, and I would have pushed for it if I had any, you know, kind of say in the KISS organization, you do the way I love the way Paul McCartney would show like these incredible videos that start his show, you know,
yes,
warm up the crowd. Why couldn't they connect? You spend all that money on an avatar, and I get why. You want to make the band eternal. Okay. But you're forgetting that after 50 years, there is a 5-minute montage of some of the highlights of the career. You know, what a missed opportunity. It was so shocking. You know, the fans walked out of there in a daze. All right. The avatars obviously surprised them. Plus the show was the same as other nights. And I get the way the KISS fans are. They're addicted to the band and they go. But certainly for the one night that you're going to wrap this up, and I knew it was real that they're wrapping it up, you know, to not honor or discuss the history. This isn't about mentioning me in particular. It's the entire thing. And I just, it was really a head scratcher for me. Totally.
Bruce, before you heard Doc's comments about KISS not being a jam band, which I think he's kind of speaking out of school because you guys jammed at MTV Unplugged when they brought Ace and Peter out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, was actually rehearsed, though. We were ready.
Well, no, I know, but there was still a celebration right there. Before you heard Doc's comments, were you hopeful? Were you expecting? Did you have any mindset of being like looking forward to this, or because of whatever was going on in KISS world, were you not even expecting to be part of that?
You know, the first announcement for the farewell tour, or the end of the road tour, let's not confuse them. Okay.
Yeah.
My bad. Actually was pre-COVID. Okay. You remember
okay.
that, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then of course, during COVID, I was doing some interviews and people were asking, so, you know, no one knew when that was going to end and when the final date could actually be. Right. So I remember there was a clear questions to me by really good interviewers about, so, you know, would you join them on stage if they asked you? And I remember I was kind of course, if they asked me, that would be amazing. The fans would love it. I would love nothing more than to get up there. I've done it before with them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was never really like something that I couldn't imagine, but I need to connect it also to another event that happened where I was absolutely invited, you know, where when they were inducted into the Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they flew me first class. I was part of the entourage. I was there to sit at the same table with their family and Eric and Tommy to be supportive to what that meant, that KISS was inducted, knowing, full knowing that I wasn't going to be inducted. Eric wasn't going to be, you know, and this was all wrong. Of course, we know that's the politics of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Paul, I remember having a conversation with him, thanking him for really driving home the fact that the Hall of Fame really didn't handle that right. You know, so let's go back almost 10 years to that. That was April in 2014. You know, that there I was to support them in their history. There's Tom Morello mentioning every band member in his speech. Not all that wound up on the HBO special or whenever they know, aired it. But I even think that Gene gave a shout out to me and things like that at the Hall of Fame. You know, so there you have the situation where I was part of a bigger event that was part of the Kiss world. And yet the final night of the 50, there's no mention, there's no support, there's nothing showing all the eras of the band. It was so.
It's incredible irony. It's incredible irony.
Yeah. And I was a bit optimistic at first until. Doc said those words. I know how to read between the lines of people who do, you know, the interviews, because they, you know, it's politics to the business, you know, how things go. And in this case, absolutely. I got a very weird feeling from Doc's words. I didn't have to hear it from Gene and Paul. I just had to go with the flow that, of course, if they asked, I'd be there with bells on. And if they don't ask, what am I supposed to do? Crash the party? I wasn't invited.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah. So two emotions that I would think, if I'm in your shoes, I'd either be extremely hurt or angry. Were, do you, a little of both, neither, one or the other?
I've been in the business too long. I've worked with enough people that you don't want, you get thick skin. You just don't let it get under your skin. Now, the harder thing for me was the fact that since I understood that this is going to be the reality, so I had no expectations as these 6 months went by leading up to the end, was, of course, people like yourself, all the other friends I have, and wondering, and how about this? Some very reputable people like Kiss Army Spain. I've performed there. Okay.
Yeah.
We want to hire you to be at our special event, offering me really good money, you know, to be there. Right. And then in the end, of course, I'm realizing, wait a minute, I could, maybe the Grand Funk schedule would work and I could be there. Then I'm like, wait a minute. I don't want to be there, you know, riding the coattails of Kiss. If I'm going to be in New York City, because I live in Las Vegas, I should be there under the understanding that I'm there to support Kiss because I'm invited by the band to be there, I'm at an event, you know, that's nearby. That's like the 1 year I did the Hard Rock before a cruise because they didn't want to invite anybody on a cruise. And then they changed that. So then I'm doing something like at the port, you know. So, you know, you can imagine musicians deal with this all the time. And what can I say? I've seen enough in this business that you accept it. You don't have to like it. And you go like, I would have handled that differently. And that's all I could say. But I'm trying to show the point of not anything about my emotions, about the fans. You see, that's what blows me away.
Believe me, we know.
Yeah. This is not about like Bruce has a lot to get off his chest. No, I'm just telling you, like, I've been like overwhelmed with everybody. Like, and I'm just standing there going like, yep, I know. And I'm surprised too. But then again, I see it in a different way because I'm a part of the business and I'm a part of the, I understand how managers work and how the politics of a famous band, you know, and it might have been just who knows how much they discussed it. I can't go to Eric, hey, you think you can invite me? You know what I mean?
Right,
I mean,
right.
that would be awkward. Of course, Eric would get me a ticket and get me backstage. But like, you know, like it was easier for friends to be there, those tight friends. It was easier for Gene's family and Paul's really tight. You know, I know he loves Desmond Child. He's such a brilliant writer. They go way back. OK, I had the fortune of writing some songs with Desmond and Paul, you know, so of course he's there. And I get it. There's no baggage with that, is there? Okay. You know, Chris Angel was there and I think he was interviewed. He's a super talented guy, so popular here. And I know he's really tight with Paul. So they did invite some friends and family, but I think when it came to the band member kind of situation, it had to fall the ways, you know, fall off the invite list. And that's unfortunate, but it's something I accept.
You know, I just wanted to follow the last on that. Just one little thing. I honestly believe had Ace not, and I'm speaking for me, not putting words in your mouth. Had Ace not done that whole Eddie Trunk, I'm going to black, you know, if you don't apologize, I'm going to release all the, like, get it so ugly with Paul. I think what ends up happening is Paul's like, between Doc and all them, like, you know what? You're better off not inviting anybody. This is your night. You're going to have too many distractions. Don't invite anybody. Had it not been like that, had Ace behaved like Peter, I think you all would have been invited. You would have been right there because it's, I get he's friends with them, but you're not only friends with them, you're also a member. There's no reason why you're not on the side of the show. Because Tom and I were both second row that night. We saw them all. They're on the side. You should.
Wait, when you said them on the side, who are you talking about?
Like
on
Desmond, Chris.
Oh, yeah, the guests. Like,
we saw them, of course. Yep.
I mean, there was a contingency of fans like Sebastian and all them there that we could see.
Yep.
What the hell is Bruce not just as a friend?
Right. That thing, that's the one part that I think did bother me. And I told Lisa, everyone knows how great she is in my life, in my world. And she gets things. And not only because of her talent and beauty to me, but just she just knows how to, if I'm, you know, tweaked about something, you know what I mean? She knows how to talk to me. So I remember this conversation we had. I'm coming back exhausted from a Grand Funk show. And we'll get to the Grand Funk thing too, of course.
Yeah, sure.
You know, because in a way I could have gone straight to New York from that show in South Dakota or something like that. But there I am when you got to do the transfer, you know, you're at an airport waiting for the next flight in Atlanta. I think it was Minneapolis. And I'm like, I'm looking at Facebook and I see so many of these people I know, so many of my friends, so many of the cruisers that I've gotten to know on a first name basis, you know, from the Facebook pages and the groups and everything. And they're all, it's like Mecca, you know, New York City. They're all heading to New York City. And I go to Lisa, you looking? Because I knew that weekend was going to be a little crazy.
Yeah.
Be a lot of people reaching out and I'd be seeing all this, right? Knowing that I'm not there and I didn't get invited to the party. Okay. And knowing that people like you and these other people would be like, why isn't Bruce here? You know, what you just said. So I just said to Lisa, what does it feel like? There's a cruise going on in New York City and we weren't invited to be on the cruise because at least, and I have to always thank, you know, Paul and Gene for that tremendous invitation. Once I got on there, everybody realized that this is really this is celebrating Kiss3 on the cruise, you know, because they know I'm going to do a set of the, you know, the music that they don't need to cover. They don't want to cover. They don't. You know, isn't covered. So then it becomes like a very happy ship, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was like just comparing it to that, even though their shows on the final tour was certainly not representative of like what happens on the cruise. You know, they stuck to mostly the non-makeup years, et cetera, et cetera. And I noticed even in the last year, they started dropping off more of like the Crazy Nights and the, you know, My Year or anything, if they ever did any of those or even Live God Gave. So I just kind of, like I said, I felt like that was, I wasn't invited to that party. You know what I mean? And then Lisa was like, Bruce, it's better that way. Don't you understand? Because then if you were there, then where would you be able to go? And then you'd have to be, you know, if I was treated like part of that Hall of Fame entourage where I was like, with Paul, I mean, mostly with Eric and Tommy, actually, and Keith LaRue and everything. And we all hung out and we're all brought over to the Barclays Center where they held the thing. You know, you get what I mean? I was part of the Kiss entourage. Yeah. So
exactly.
Yeah, that would have been, and they're not ready for that either, for me to be suddenly part of that. But let me go back to that comment you made about Ace. Absolutely. I think there were things said publicly that got out of hand that didn't help how maybe the last night. And I don't think Ace did that intentional. You know, we all love Ace and we all know that maybe there isn't an edit button. I don't know, you know, but you know, let's not forget. And I'm not trying to say this to freak out anyone. It was public. Ace starts talking about how much money he wants and he's putting that in the press. You know, yeah. It's all fine. We all know if you're in the music business, you really don't want to do something. You say, I want, and you make an outrageous demand, and then it never happened. Oh, he wasn't available. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
You know, so, but Ace is actually telling him, you know, people like his fans on Eddie's show, I don't like talking about money. I never do. I have other people to do that for me. But he's spitting out these figures. That's just like it doesn't help the narrative of anything. Because I would have done it for nothing. Just take care of my expenses and bring me out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I wasn't paid to do the Hall of Fame. You know, they just asked me to be there. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was real important. But look, how their relationships have developed through the years and all the ups and downs. Cause let's not forget Paul doing a video and supporting, you know, Ace's, one of the records that came out. And so there's always these hot and cold periods.
Yeah.
And certainly I hope everyone knows out there, it, as much as I was aware I wouldn't be there and it was going to be a very complex, you know, like information for me to hear. I didn't know what they were going to do or not. But the night before I knew that I needed to put up a post congratulating them. And I noticed a lot of people steal the same one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The same image that I had my friend Michael do for me. And that was sincere. And I'm hoping that they knew that I still, without my invitation, was totally in support of what they wanted to do. This is, I wasn't part of any decision. Again, Doc set that, you know, tone pretty clear way before it ever happened that I had no expectations of being there. I just feel like it's just a missed opportunity that you could have celebrated Kistery that night, and instead they just chose to set up the future. Okay, which I wish them all the best with that. And even though we all know that that's a unique concept and it's a very new thing, you know, let's face it, 10 years ago you couldn't really talk about things like that quite the same way. It's their band, but I just know they've offered products from my era and all the eras with Ace on the cover. You know, a Live 3 album came out, you know, with these special deluxe things. It's not that they're not aware of my era and the albums and the work, but it wasn't a part of that night. It just wasn't to the extent that I think the fans out there are clearly do have a connection to. So I'm going to continue to wave the flag for my era. We know that. And it didn't have to be on the last night, but I just think it would have been a really a better feeling for everybody to celebrate all the years of Kiss and then present the future.
Yep. Bruce, one last thing I just want to touch on about that final night. And speaking as a fan, you know, Zeus and I were there with a lot of friends we met up with, and we were there for both shows. You know, and obviously you, not just a former member of Kiss, but a fan of the band itself. And you have been sharing the same exact sentiments that myself and Zeus and all of our friends. There was a sense of a combination of disappointment, of bewilderment, of confusion, of what the hell. And I think that really shook the Kiss army for the most part, that not only did you not acknowledge your past in any way, shape, or form, but you immediately injected the future of the band at the exact same time. There wasn't any breathing room. There wasn't any acknowledgement. It's almost as if they just wanted to put all this behind them and move forward with the future and the avatars. And coming out of Madison Square Garden with our friends, we should have been... some of us should have been in tears, emotions. Like, wasn't that amazing? I can't. Instead, everyone was like, what was that? What are the avatars? What's that QR code we're supposed to scan? What's this golden ticket thing? And unfortunately, we had a wonderful weekend, but like you said, just a tremendously lost opportunity. And it's confusing to me as a fan what they were thinking, because they historically are so aware of their fan base.
What did I say it was, Tom?
And what the fans want. And for them to be so tone deaf here is really startling.
I agree with you, but and then the narrative for a little while, though, you have to admit, was I didn't get my golden ticket.
Yeah, exactly. That too.
I have five, you know, right. You know, which reminded me of all the Dubai nonsense when everybody was promised something.
Yes.
And it went to that. But then it goes back to once they realize, oh, now they're selling them on in the Kiss store. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But in the end, I read a lot of the shocking, you know, emotions. And look, I'm sitting from a different, you know, I'm in a completely different kind of like zone of where I'm trying to, you know, kind of absorb it all and process it. Okay. Because here it is, this band that I just celebrate all the time and will continue to celebrate. And that's why I just saw it as the missed opportunity, not mm-hmm. that they're mean or they don't love the fans. I don't know why there was nobody in that camp who missed that point. Okay. You know what I mean? Because
agreed.
One thing I know, and it's been the one reason why I've never loved being a Kiss member more than these last 3 or 4 years where I've connected with fans in a huge way. Yeah. The Kiss is not only about the music. It's not only about the, all those great performances and everything to celebrate and that first time you heard it and where it takes you to, you know, all that connection that people have with the band. It is about how the fans all love to be together, mm-hmm. sharing this love, because it isn't the band that everybody loves. You know, a lot of people used to get beat up for it. It's not the Rolling Stones necessarily or the Beatles. It's still this huge iconic band where it's almost like the fans are like a clique and you get it or you don't get it. And everyone loves each other. They support each other. Those cruises are magical. Okay. And the camaraderie and that we're all getting together to share our love of this music and this band. And I know that I've become something special to many of them because they also know I'm not there to make outrageous, you know, blackmail statements or mention how much money it would take to have me on stage. There's nothing controversial that comes out of myself except, you know, that, I love my era and they don't do enough of it, but I get it. They're in makeup and they're doing that. But again, it just comes down to the community of Kiss fans, which is something that I don't know if you can properly define unless you're one of them. You know, I mean, you have news stations, you know, filming, you know, and interviewing people on the streets of Manhattan there because they couldn't believe it that what's going on here. But those people have to say it loud and clear, you know, that history matters. You know, I'm not trying to start a new catchphrase, you know, but it does. Okay. And I know that the fans they just love when everyone's, just celebrating and, you know, everything great. So I know they still had a great time, but they'd have to leave a bit confused. So, what can I say? There hasn't been anything, much. I know Gene did a successful event. I saw the way Gene is at his, you know, when he's up close and personal with the fans, he's incredible.
Yeah.
And he did that thing at Electric Lady. Yeah. And I know a guy that I'm friends with from KLA who went and we got a chance to talk about it. I got to see some video. And, you know, all I could say is that, you know, I don't think there's been anything else really from the Kiss camp that's explaining anything. But what can I say? We all have to this is the way it went down. You know what I mean? But moving forward, I'm going to once again just celebrate my era and I'm excited for 2024 because now I'm not in Grand Funk Railroad anymore. And the timing of that, by the way, had nothing to do with the end of Kiss. It's kind of ironic because I was ready to go and I just decided way before I knew when Kiss was ending that I probably wouldn't make it past 2023. I was ready to start focusing on my legacy, not Grand Funk's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's a great taking off point. The news kind of broke that you, after, I don't know, were you in Kiss longer or were you in Grand Funk longer?
No, actually, those 12 years of Kiss, you know, when you think about product and touring and how and videos and everything, it's almost half. But because 23 years for Grand Funk.
Yeah.
But with Grand Funk, we didn't put out any product. It was just gigging
touring
all around the country and,
right,
and touring and fly dates. So there's nothing. It's a big difference, even though of course, the 80 minutes on stage with those guys was a joy because, you know, the band plays great. To play guitar to Don Brewer's drums is just amazing. And it's great music. It's their legacy, but I enjoyed the guitar playing, but there wasn't product. I wasn't on the cover of something. Yeah. When you go to the casino and you see a picture of the band. Yeah. I'm there. Okay. We, of course. And the fact that it was 23 years, the same five guys, you know, was pretty remarkable, but it was time for me to just not be part of that. But the 12 years of Kiss is my legacy. We all know that.
Well, we hope that you'll keep the legacy moving, because once this ended, all sorts of, like, I don't know, fan wishes or rumors, everybody's like, well, people are piecing little things together. Gene's website on his auction site, they were talking about all of a sudden Gene was going to be touring with this place in Australia or whatever. So everyone starts piecing, well, if Bruce just left Grand Funk, Gene's got a possibility. You could always grab a Todd. Wait a minute. What do we got here? Yeah. Have you had any conversations with anyone or with Gene about touring with him or anything like that? Or have you had any conversations with your band about possibly going on the road and playing some dates?
So the reality of 2024 is nothing that you saw, which was a total bogus post about, you know, Gene Simmons band and who's in it touring in South America. And,
South America.
Nothing was based in fact at all. Okay. I shared it with Eric. We had a chuckle about it at lunch. And of course, you know, Gene's Christina and Patrick, you know, the people that helped him help him so well. Christina right away said, if anything was real about that, it would be on the Gene Simmons site. Don't read some silly thing on Facebook. I was pretty flattered by it. I think it's exciting. You know, it's kind of like when fans do something rogue, like, all right, so they hear that I'm not going to be with Grand Funk and then they put it together. Well, Eric doesn't, he's not gigging. All right, the Gene Simmons band, and then they'll just insert Todd and then they have a band. You know, all that's like build it and they will come maybe. You know what I'm saying? And I get that, but, honestly, there has been nothing planned. I have nothing on my calendar for anything. I've never had a conversation with Gene about the future, except, of course, at that event that I did with him in May. We had a blast, and I told him, you know, anytime you want to work with me, I loved it. We had a great time, and he thanked me, of course, for being there. Eric got up and jammed. And, of course, I don't think he ever actually gigged with Todd Kearns before, you know. And Brent Woods was the other guitarist and Brent Fitz was the drummer who has been before with Gene. So Gene knows that if he's really like would like me to be involved, he knows how to reach me very easily. And there's no drama there at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Regarding my band, I would love to say I know what we could do and when we can do it. Cause the problem, if you want to say my band, which is of course the Cruise band, you know, you have, you know, Todd Kearns and Brent Fitz, my dear friend, all these guys were really tight. We really get along great. And then Zach Throne, who's been tremendous and had a very busy year, though, playing guitar for Corey Taylor. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's funny because Brent, you know, like Brent's always on drums unless he's doing toque, and then he plays the bass. Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes even keyboards when he fills in for like the Guess Who or something. But, you know, Todd switches between bass and guitar, and Todd is back with Slash now, and so is Brent. But he's playing bass, and I think Slash has him for 4 months at least. So I couldn't even think about anything. And I don't know where anyone's really right now. Their heads in like get through Slash. No one has said something to me like, okay, I have a solid offer for you. And then I'd have to discuss with who's available. Now I did learn one thing. They are always my go-to guys because not only do we play great together, but they, you know, we're very comfortable with each other. We live in Las Vegas together. Okay. But you know, I can't control what they're able to do with me when they have other offers and we're all in that situation. Right.
Yeah.
Especially when they're part of a mining. It's really whatever we get booked, it's going to be Bruce Kulick. We're not a band, even though I jokingly was referring to them as the Mob, which I thought was really funny. Members of Bruce's band. But let's rewind to October when Neil Davis did the Kiss Cancer Goodbye Creature Fest shows in, it was 2 days, a weekend in Florida. Okay.
Yep.
And that was a really excellent, and they raised a lot of money for cancer. It was wonderful. And it was great because he had a lot of different players. Once again, Neil likes to think out of the box, just like the success of Creatures Fest last May. So Todd was going to be there already. I didn't think I could do it at all because of Grand Funk. And then finally came back and said, is there any way, these are the flights that you could come the next day, perform that night, and I can get you home the next day. And I'm going like, ooh, let me look at that. I remember Lisa going like, is he kidding? And then I said, hold on, let's take a look. Yeah. And then I realized there were flights that unless something got canceled, I can get there. I wouldn't be able to rehearse with them. But I knew, first of all, not a kick at Joey Quesada. Joey Quesada was
oh, don't kick him.
Yeah. And then I'm going like, all right, I have Todd because he's there. Joey's going to be there, of course. And I really admire Joey's playing from the Creatures Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to look at, well, what about bass? And then I realized that this guy, Joe McGinnis, who actually plays guitar with Chris Jericho in Quarantine, who I'm very good friends with him. We keep in touch and we're trading riffs all the time and talking guitars and gear. But Joe goes, you know, I play bass. I go like, oh, so he's another like I sing too. He's all over that Kiss record that is.
Yeah. Classic 78.
Yeah. Which when Lisa,
fantastic.
It was unbelievable. I listened
fantastic.
To it.
Fantastic.
He sent it to me and I'm like, wait a minute. These aren't Kiss songs. No, we wrote those. I go, are you singing these two songs? He goes, yeah, that's me singing. I was like, wow. You know, I was freaking out.
Tom Higgins, the main guy there. He's a Boston guy. And then obviously Charlie Benante. Yeah. Joe.
Right, yeah. Right.
Exactly. Fantastic.
So,
yep.
Really good product. I was very impressed with that. So I had to do a Bruce Kulick branded gig with two guys that I'd never performed with before. All right. I jammed with Quarantine at Creatures Fest, got up for a song, and those guys pulled it off. So what I'm just have to let everybody know, I don't know like exactly who would be in my band if the right opportunity comes, but I know that I would always hope that it could be like what I did on the cruises. Let's not also forget that I did the two cruises last year, if you remember.
That's right.
And Zach already was booked with Corey Taylor in England. So he couldn't do the first one.
Yeah,
of the
he
two. And
the
it wasn't as crowded. And I remembered Brent said, I know this guy, Chaz, over in he lives in Canada, but he's an American. And I reached out to him and he did a great job. We did rehearse one day in Vegas before we all went to the cruise. I thanked him and then Zach got on the boat and I had Zach for the second cruise, you know, which was really interesting. So I really, unfortunately or fortunately, I know there's some great talent out there. And what I'm trying to say is I have a lot of dodging and shifting to do if someone offers, because it's like, when is it something I want to do? Could I pull it off professionally? Because I think everybody knows I like to do everything as great as possible. I don't like shoddy stuff. I'm not the jam guy, by the way, right? To connect that to the earlier part of the interview.
And so, you want a drummer too, not a drum machine.
Yeah.
Right? Like that, like that one. Oh yeah.
Like that, like that.
It was supposed to be a drummer there.
Yeah, that was an experience.
Vinny plays by Vinny's rules.
Oh yeah.
and I was really surprised how kind Ace was to Vinny in that last interview that he gave talking about all the Kiss guitars, you know.
Yep.
Because as much as, you know, Vinny and I talked about it after the event, you know, look, he was very nice to me and he was all over Lisa because he loved the pancake site. Can you believe that? The idea. Well, maybe I can believe that, but he was so excited to meet her talking about pancakes. But, you know, what Vinny did was very unusual, very, very out there. But it wasn't what we were expecting. And it was actually Ace and I having a conversation saying, we have to do this. We'll do it for the fans and let's just do it. He said, if you do it, I'll do it and we'll do it. And then in that interview, I don't think he remembered anything that happened that night. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. You know,
because Ace was quite vocal. I usually play with a drummer.
Yeah.
and he didn't even know what song started. And then I don't even know what Vinny was playing or not playing. I heard the tape when Ace's guitar speaker thing fell out. It was only me playing because there was no rhythm, and yet Vinny's up there. So like, what was going on then?
I had no idea. Okay. I don't think anybody knows what was going on. Exactly. Up there. Yeah.
I thought I was transported to some strange sci-fi movie. That's all I thought.
But the best part about that is, Bruce, that we all that were there, I don't think that'll ever happen again. We get to say, yeah, but you weren't there when Ace and Bruce and Vinny played together or played somewhat together.
Yes.
We experienced it. So as much as people want to pan Vinny, I still say it's one of the craziest out there experiences I've ever seen live.
Yeah.
Especially us waiting for a half an hour to an hour for us to get in. And we're like, I think we can hear somebody noodling up there. And then they just open it up the door.
Yep.
And everyone just walked in and he's up there playing.
That was insane.
It was, quite honestly,
we all know that Vinny's very, very unique and kind of eccentric in many ways. And that's fine because meeting him in person, he knows how to put on that very, very kind, smiley face. And that's you wonder.
Oh, we felt it too. Yeah.
My advice to him, put the music out, share the music. You know, make a commitment like what you're offering and do it. And the fans will be very, very happy. And I just don't know if that's in his world, but that's all he needs to do because his influence and his provenance of in Kiss is set in stone already. You know, it's Lick It Up. It's the songwriting. It's Some of Creatures, whatever it was. And whatever it has been, even the revenge songs, it's never go away, but respect that. And then carry on and do your music and share it with the fans. They want to hear it. And that always seems to be like a, I don't know. It seems to be complex for him. It's unfortunate too. I don't know.
Yeah, you know?
Bruce. So speaking of music and putting out the music. So last fall, your Audio Dog album was repressed on vinyl, which was really exciting for the fans that love your stuff. We've talked about, the fantasies of joining Gene's band or Bruce Kulick play. Any discussion, any thought about releasing new music, something like Audio Dog or the BK3, anything like that you might be thinking of? Because you kind of said something when you said that you left Grand Funk. You kind of, forgive me if I'm putting words in your mouth, that you said you wanted to focus on your legacy.
No, I mean, part of, and we didn't really get into the reasons why I didn't want to be traveling and performing with Grand Funk anymore because it had nothing to do with the guys. We all got along very well, which is remarkable for 23 years. And, for me, it was about the travel. It was about the fact that every time I would, how busy I got once the pandemic hit, there was maybe the people who just sat back and took a holiday or read their books and everything. And I'm just like going crazy, creating content and playing with things I never had the time to. Well, that's because I didn't have to worry about where am I flying on Thursday? When do I get back? How many days before the next turnaround? And that's what touring with a fly date kind of band is. Okay. A lot of people would say to me, how's the tour going? We don't tour like traditional bands like Kiss does. And you go out and of course they got the 10 trucks and the multi-million-dollar production. And you can't just do one-offs with that. Yeah, you can for the right amount of money, but you know what's involved with that. But generally you do a lot of string of dates and then there's a break and then you do a string of dates. With Grand Funk, you can work every month of the year. And that went on for 23 years. The only time that stopped was when, let's say, there was a couple of years where Don Brewer wound up playing with Bob Seger again because Seger always loved his drumming. Smart man. And Don was like, look, for these 2 months, we're going to be off. I'm going to be on the Seger tour. We all respected that. I didn't. To me, it was like, well, he didn't kill the band. He's just saying, like, I got to go do this. They were respectful when I knew the cruises were coming so that I could say, you got to block these dates. This is when I want to do it. But honestly, the older I got and the more time went on, and especially the band has been getting booked more and more. So then the schedule becomes more hectic. The time for me and to do the things that I want to do. Now, during August, I remember, I'm not sure what happened with the schedule, but I just got so motivated with a couple of new ideas that I wrote that I just jumped on my garage band, started playing, found some drummer named Kyle or Matt or something, and I'm laying down tracks. That's what they do. They have some names for them. Lisa would go, is that Kyle? He's good. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he's laying down a great beat and I'm doing these demos. I take out the bass. I play stuff. I send it to Todd. I share it with one of the other guys and go like, check it out, you know, and I'm like thrilled. And then there I am, slammed by more traveling, more traveling, more traveling, more traveling. And I do have music that's ready to record. And I know during the pandemic, because I used to talk about, oh, the cruise band is going to record as soon as things started to open up, even though, you know, there was some, you know, setbacks at times, you know, everyone, you know, it was another COVID outbreak and all these band members are and gigs are being canceled. But everyone got slammed because for such a long period of time, no one could see anybody. So everybody's schedule was make up those dates, do more. So we never got to do anything. Okay. And at any time, and these guys know it, this is not about like they don't care, you know what I mean? And I haven't been, you know, hounding them, you know what I mean? So I realized the best way to do it is as soon as, you know, beginning part of this year is getting this new narrative out there that I get to explore everything. Lisa is so happy I am home. She knows that there's this big weight because all of you should know it was a hard thing to do the last shows. You know what I mean? I had a lot of travel. It's December. It's around my birthday and it was around the holidays and I knew it was coming to a halt and it's winter. What can happen? Who's going to get sick? You know, is there a snowstorm? You know, I've been stuck in places before in November and December and all. So I got through all that. And then of course, you know, I had my big party, which was not actually on my birthday, but I'm just in a great place and having the opportunity to talk freely with guys like you and saying like, look, think of the opportunities I could do, knowing that I'd have time to do music. Okay. I can also work on the book. I know a lot of people pick that up once you cut out. And I get that. Me leaving Grand Funk's not to write my memoir. Okay.
Yeah.
It's to just do what I want to do and celebrate my legacy. And at my age, which is now 70, I don't see it as like that I couldn't perform or I couldn't travel, but I was not going to work that hard to promote their legacy just playing guitar when I really want to concentrate on mine. I mean, it was exactly how I explained it to Don Brewer. And he goes, I get it. And then I don't even want to get into the fact that I had the hardest travels of anybody in the band because I was the one living on the West Coast. You know, the first, 17 years in LA and then these 5 years in Las Vegas. So my flights, the bands get 80% of the gigs on the East Coast and Midwest. So I'm constantly taking these double flights, 8 hours, and it just becomes the one gig becomes 3 days. Okay. You know, it's just hard. I remember when Brent would break off and do a Guess Who date. Guess Who is another band. Terrific. They're really terrific. They did a lot of shows with us. They do fly dates. Okay. So, Brent had to do a couple of fly dates with him and he comes back. How do you do this? How have you done this all these years? This kicks my ass compared to when Slash does a run. Now, I'm not saying that isn't hard when these bands go out on tour, but you're out there. You know what I mean? You're going from one city to the next and it becomes a little similar. You know, you're sometimes, especially you're on a bus for a while, you know, or maybe however they do it. You're out and you're home. You're not going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Right.
So then like the one hat, now I got to unpack. Okay. Now I got to pack. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was a yo-yo and all I could think about when I was home was when do I have to leave again? What can I get done in that amount of time? And when I mean not get done, what can I get done? Yeah. There's the dental cleaning and stuff like that. The silly stuff, get the car repaired, but there's more like what project am I working on? How do I get Audio Dog's artwork approved so then that guy can print the copies and I have to listen to the master and make sure it's right. And then how are we going to promote it? How do we want to market it? You know, from all the things that I do, you know, so there's obviously memoirs. I'd love to do more guitar clinics if the right things come up. Mm. I'd love to perform more with my wife, Lisa. I think everyone knows.
Yep.
Our Christmas song was quite popular. We stuck in a
loved it. Monday. Awesome.
Thank you.
Loved it. Amazing. Loved it. That Elvis version. I love it.
Yeah, yep. it was completely, I ripped off, you know, she wanted to be one artist and I wanted to be Eric Clapton. And then together it becomes fresh. Obviously, there could be some autograph shows that I think I'd be really appropriate at that I never had the opportunity to do before because of the Grand Funk schedule. And I'm sure there could be some great expos and other events put on by some of the people that we know. I've been hearing things about some people that would like to plan some cool things. So the sky's the limit. Obviously, I can, besides the music and the creative parts, are just, I can be out to meet my fans in different ways than before, then come to a Graham Funk show. And I honestly, I could not believe how many comments there were on the post when I thanked the guys in the band and let them know about the departure. The people were like, oh, well, I was very flattered when I saw you five times, or I meant to come see you, but I, you know, well, they had 23 years to, you know, give me a break. or how about the last show was in an area of Ohio that the guy lives only 45 minutes and he probably never even knew about it, didn't know I was playing, you know, and that's the disconnect that I always felt with Graham Funk, that I don't really know how much the fans knew. It got better and better as years went on, you know, and especially the last two or three years. But and yeah, they think they don't know some of those songs. Are you kidding me? Some of those songs are classic rock hits, and of course they know them. And I get to solo in every song. And ironically, the sound guy recorded the last night I did on the 14th of December, and he sent it to the guys in the band, of course. And I got it. And the second I heard it, I went, whoa, this sounds great. And what do? I pull out a guitar and I start jamming to it. Lisa was laughing.
That's awesome.
I told Don that. I told Don Brewer, you know, because I'm not trying to, like, it's not a bad memory. It's just the music was always great. It's just the travel and the fact that how could a Graham Funk gig for me ever be about my legacy? It wasn't going to morph. You know what I mean? Into the Kiss world. It didn't work. You know, I had fans saying, can you do Rock and Roll All Night, you think? You know what I mean? It's not the event for that. And Graham Funk, if you really understand the band, another one with a lot of fighting in the band, you know, you got Mark Farner being, you know, they've had a lot of issues through the years. And then not anything to do with me. And in the same way that Ace and Peter always had these issues with Paul and Gene, nothing to do with me. I'm there to do my job and I respect everybody. So, you know, Mark likes me. I've done some work with Mark Farner at these corporate shows and the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. But honestly, the music was terrific. The guys, we all got along. It was sad. It was a hard thing for me to be clear about it, know I had to do it and how it was all going to go down. And they preferred me not talking about it until I was all done and waiting for 2024. Mm-hmm. And their new guy, who they don't want me to really talk about, even though he's terrific. He's a dear friend of mine too. So he's going to do a great job. That's going to be at their first show in the middle of January in Connecticut. And I think that's wonderful. So they'll set up how they want to, you know, announce that. And we'll carry on. Everybody can, you know, it was left totally as an amicable thing, you know, of course.
But speaking of amicable things, where is your relationship now with all the rest of Kiss? And we know you're very close with Eric.
Yes.
Have you had any conversations with Paul in the past, I don't know, congratulating him or anything like that?
Well, it really was meant a lot to me. When I had the big birthday party here in Las Vegas, I of course wanted to invite all of the guys, you know, meaning Gene, Paul, Eric and Peter. Eric and Tommy, actually, because he does sometimes live here in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And Paul wrote me very sincerely that he had a conflict on that day, and he was very happy about me celebrating my 70th. And he called me a mensch again, which for people who don't know, it's a good compliment. It means a stand up guy. Okay.
Yep.
And it really meant a lot. And I wished him well. And of course, at times during the tour, when I had something to share with him, I told him have great shows, you know, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's always been a very cordial, supportive, kind of relationship. Gene, obviously, both of them, I shared the Christmas video. Knowing that sometimes it's hard to get their attention, but they're not on tour now and everything. Yeah. And both of them responded very favorable about it, which I thought was great. You know, I mean, Gene always, he has a sweet spot about me and his, because I know these people that talk to him and hang with him, how Brent would say, oh, he always speaks so highly of you. He's so cool. And, so, you know, with Gene, it's really, everything is great with those guys. You know what I mean? Good. And that's why I didn't see anything about that final night as being something personal. That was a brand thing. That was how they wanted to market Kiss that night. That's the way they wanted to do their final show. And it wasn't meant anything personal with me. Okay. And I got to be clear about that. I know that. But again, you know, we discussed that plenty. Now, Peter, I keep in touch with. We've done some events together.
Yeah.
And I actually wrote him when I saw what he wrote about the band. And I thought it was a wonderful thing how he, you know, was congratulating them and celebrating them.
Classy.
Yeah, it was real classy.
Very.
And then, of course, it gave me a lot of confidence, too, that when I was going to do mine, and mine was already planned and I had the image. I was just waiting for that morning. And so we're on the same page. And I'm glad that Peter's been really at – he's kind of very centered about it, it seems, that everything's okay. This is the way they are, and this is what it is. You know, Ace, we keep in touch. We text each other, wish each other Happy New Year. And, of course, it's always fun to see him. Like, at the last time I saw him was in October. He watches my band. He's done some very – I couldn't pay for the kind of press he's given me, you know, saying how I'm an excellent musician, saying that I'm his favorite guitarist besides him and Kiss. You know, so I find that that's fun to have a good relationship with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And let's see, you know, I wouldn't criticize him if I think he didn't have to say it that way. That's his history with those guys. Say whatever you want. You know what I mean? Right. I know that I don't have that connection or that kind of history to be saying things about money and the stuff that we talked about. But I seem to be, someone put it to me like, you're Switzerland. No, Switzerland's very neutral. I'm just like, I want the family to all get along. You know, it's different than, you know, I know other people who go like, you go to a dinner party or something, and you know someone's really snarky, and they just know, you know, it bugs some people. I'm the one to make sure that I can engage them a little bit. And then if for some reason they said something hurtful for me, I would just, you know, let it roll off my sleeve and just then probably just like whatever. I've been in these tough situations. I was the president of the HOA in Studio City where I lived, where I had to deal with some real difficult things, especially when there was like a $1 million fire at the complex, and I had to quiet people and make them feel like you know, everybody's opinion does matter in this, but you gotta you know, temper it. Mm-hmm. So I think I know how to maybe see both sides and balance things enough that I don't like people fighting. I really don't. I've even seen my manager get into it with a promoter, and the two of them are going to kill each other, and I'm screaming, stop. You know what I mean? This is ridiculous. He didn't make the money. I don't want him to be hurt that much. I know he promised that. We're going to work this out, and no one's going to kill each other, because literally it looked like it was going to be like that, you know? Yeah. So it's just been part of my nature. It might've been something I learned growing up. I don't know, but I'm not about to pick any fights. And even someone like Vinny, who I felt uncomfortable at Creatures Fest, and I knew that he changed the rules as it went. I don't mean him any harm. I just not so sure I'd ever want to work with him again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to do that again. But it's not that hard. And the same thing about my memoir that people ran with already. I don't want to – I'll set the record straight about certain things the way I saw it, but I'm not about to trash the world. You know, I want to
celebrate
and talk about what it was like for me and how I felt. Because I also know there were times I did the wrong thing and I had to learn from that. You know what I mean? And then even if someone else is doing the wrong thing, I like to say, well, I wouldn't have handled it that way, but this is how it went down. You know what I mean? So what can I say? I'm fine with everybody.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you from what, you know, from what we know as our podcast, listening to fans, listening to everything, it always come back to the same thing with you when it comes to Bruce Kulick. And that is that it comes back to class.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one word that always defines you. And we see it. The fans see it. You carry yourself with class. You've always been a classy person, not only just amongst the band in this such a dysfunctional Kiss band, but also with the way you handle yourself with the fans. And, you know, as the time has gone on and we've gotten to know you, you've done nothing but reinforce that the best way to describe Bruce is class. And I can't thank you enough for coming on.
Yeah. Yep. Well, thank you for saying that. Of course, it means something to me. I think my parents taught me you don't have something nice to say about anybody. You know, don't say it. And I know It's so easy to slam. I don't like the way social media picks up clickbait nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm very offensive when I see someone distort even something that I may have said, and they take it completely wrong, and it's got to get somebody upset.
Well, get ready, buddy.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but I'm clear in you know, my kind of conscious as to how I share my thoughts.
Yep.
And I'm not looking to be that controversial guy. I'm just not. But I know it's good for clicks, I guess. But that I don't need that. And I think it's refreshing for some people. I know that they were celebrating the fact that I would be willing to do a book where I don't have to rip apart people, you know.
Yeah.
But the story for me is much more interesting. There's so much about the process of my career and how I got into the band and what my role was in the band and what it felt like to me that I don't need to be like tearing people a new a-hole, you know. But yeah, you know, that book I referred to, Motley Crue, The Dirt, and how publishers
no,
there has to be some skeletons here you got to talk about. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah.
Not really. And even if I knew of some, I'm not the guy that wants to share that. That's yep. ridiculous. But let's face it. Unfortunately, that's the world we kind of live in. But I'm gonna wave the good flag and kind of keep it where what my parents taught me was to be a mensch, as Paul has called me, and that's my intention. So I'm supportive of everyone. And yeah, I mean, when someone does you wrong and you don't feel right around them, so then you just don't work with them, or you know. And unfortunately, I've been disappointed by some other music business people who I thought handled something poorly. And then, I joke with Lisa and say, like, you know, but it's not something that I'm putting in, you know, some headline. It's just silly.
Yeah.
Look what I had to deal with my brother.
No, I know.
I don't.
We remember the stuff. And the thing is that we were always just like, poor Bruce has to deal with this stuff. And that was a tough situation. We know it, but you still came out again with class. And the way you handled it.
I knew them. And even the guys, you know, Gene and Paul knew it. You know, my brother was suffering some sort of breakdown at 70 and went on this rampage. And it was so sad to see it. And I had to stay the course of not going public about anything and just doing what I had to do. And then him dying of a heart attack was so out of left field, but in a way he was at peace and that was something I had to accept. And then instead of getting into the horrors of how hard he was the last 6 months, and there's a lot of details with that, but it's not necessary to be told, a year later I share a loving video of his career, you know, and what he meant to me as a brother, being so successful in the music business and everything that he accomplished and how many lives he touched. So that was real important to me. And because of COVID, we couldn't even have our memorial.
Yeah.
And then it was really fun. One other thing I was able to do this past year was play at Vamped. I know he used to jam at the Kiss night.
Yep.
And then when Stoney, the guy that works with the Count, you know, the Counting Cars guy in his band, and we always rehearse at his facility here in Vegas. When Stoney asked me to be a part of that night for that charity, but why don't we do something for Bob? I said, this is great. Let's do six songs, you know, and I got up there and that was wonderful.
Awesome.
You know, those songs are amazing. I know we went through it.
Yeah. You know, incredible.
And it's
my favorite Kiss songs are in there, and Bob's got his fingerprints all over them.
So speaking of my brother, I did want to give you guys one scoop. I haven't completely finalized this. So I don't have all the particulars to exactly how it could go down, but I have an incredible recording of the rehearsal for the Kiss Cruise.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's right.
And I've already like examined all the tracks and, you know, shared it. The guys, you know, what happened when we all got together, Brent, Todd, and myself with my brother, to do that first time Kiss offered a cruise, right?
Yeah.
With Kiss content, shall I say?
Yeah, before,
right, you right.
Yeah.
And there's a great story with that. I'll probably save it for my book. But in short, it evolved, you know what I mean, in a big way, from just being on a panel to maybe answering some questions and jamming to an actual set. And that set was legendary, as many of you know.
Yeah.
And the fact that Bob and I could share our legacies on stage on that cruise with that night was really special. But we did have to rehearse. Our schedules were terrible, just absolutely terrible. I'm running everywhere with Grant Funk, and I believe that Slash was busy that year too. So Todd mm-hmm. and Brent were not available that much. And Bob producing was more easy for him to be, you know, available because his job was where he lived. And we got together for a day and a half. And I remember what we decided was, if we get a good recording of what we learned and how we know how to do the set, then everybody can practice for the final 4 weeks before we lead mm-hmm. up to the performance. So thank God that, and that was recorded really well. This guy nice. That Brent knows did a great job. I've already had conversations with him about how we can get in there and then mix it in the best way. And it could be just a great memento kind mm-hmm. of product. Okay, I know I have great pictures, and but obviously I got to work out all of the just how to maybe I'm marketing it myself. Maybe it goes to a label and it becomes part of Record Store Day. Who knows? It could be a vinyl.
That sounds
CD or whatever,
awesome.
You know, but isn't fantastic. That exciting? Yeah,
absolutely.
So I have that was one thing I know I couldn't readily do. I still want to put out my Transformer, the second solo record.
Yes.
Yep.
You know, oh yeah.
BK3's been out there a few different ways.
Yep.
But it is possible to do something else with that because I have other tracks that could easily be finished. That it could be like another version possibly. I've been mm-hmm. talking with my manager about some things with with another label that's interested in certain things. Unfortunately, the Audio Dog's a one-shot deal with Lindsley Records. Okay.
Yep.
Because, you know, that wasn't his full-time career and he had to close his company, but I'm still real, real tight with him. And, that product came out great. I'm so
yep.
excited.
It's
about
awesome.
It.
I have that. It's great.
Yeah. Good.
Yep.
Good. Yep. You get the blue or the white, you know,
I got the blue.
Yeah. Blue. Yeah.
It's awesome.
You know, it was really sad. I'll tell you, life is just crazy. So knowing that the blue sold out a bit quicker than the white one.
Yep.
They both sold out that day, which was very flattering to me. You know, the part of the deal that I made with Craig Lindsley was that he would ship me, some product, you know, and the box of white I got was all perfect. Okay. And then he had to tell me, by the way, I didn't realize this last box of blue got all trashed, you know?
Oh no.
And, so he had much less blue to give me.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that stuff happens. And you know, the labels yeah. always do a little bit of an overrun anyways. I mean, the printing plant rather. So it wasn't like we really lost a ton of stuff, but I was hoping for many more of the blue. And of course it had to be the blue.
Right.
But I haven't put them on my website yet. I don't have that many copies. I've been doing a few, you know, smaller private sales through the Facebook pages. And I might put a few on my site. But I love when I go to, you know, eBay and people would trade, you know, offering it for big money. It's
crazy, Oh, yeah.
You know, so – but I usually do my stuff in limited numbers anyway. I find it to be better that way and – not sure if everyone does that, but I do.
Yeah.
You know? If it works for you, why not? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Because I like, you know, I just like that. I want to keep it truly limited.
Yeah.
So was there anything we didn't cover?
Well, that's what we were just going to ask you before before we let you go. Before, you know, if you want to tell everybody where they can find you, where they can keep track of all the things that you're into, or your social media, your website, etc.
Well, of course, BruceKulick.com, which I should mention. I used to be Kulick.net, and then, you know, about probably 4 or 5 years ago, I was able to have BruceKulick.com, which a fan in Norway actually gifted me. Somehow he winds up – the Kiss fans are amazing. Okay, we know this.
That's awesome.
And the fact that he was in that kind of world and goes – you know, there's a big difference between Bruce Kulick asking for BruceKulick.com and you know, some guy with a Norwegian name asking for it. You get it?
Right.
Because they'll charge 10 times as much for me. To buy
yes,
it,
right? Of course.
So anyway, he gifted it to me, which was really lovely. And so it's BruceKulick.com. A lot of people don't bother with the websites because, but I do have a real functioning shop there, and there's a lot of different products to look at.
Yep.
And there's a couple of new things that I just put up for 2024. But certainly my Facebook, I have the two Facebook pages. There is a personal page, and that's generally for people I've actually met, and the official page. And the official page has the chunk of people, okay, you know, like 140,000 or something like that. But I like engaging with the fans. I have to clean up the spammers, the bots.
Oh, we know all about it.
We deal with that too. It's awful.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
But let me ask. So how does someone really believe that they're chatting with Paul Stanley and that they're ready to?
We see that all the time on Facebook. Right.
I mean, yeah. this one lady sadly wrote me telling me it got to a point where she started to maybe have some red flags, but I was Lisa was divorcing me. I had no money, and because she was going to take all of it, and please send me money, you know, the scammer.
Yeah.
That's the end game with these.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah. The money part will come in sooner or later.
It's a confidence game, and it's just – and I think – we know Facebook won't do anything about it. It's clear.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. They're not capable. One or the other. But the fans really got to stop being gullible about it.
Yeah.
Because we can't police it. Because it's every artist everywhere.
Yep.
And it's horrible. They just Bruce, pop up out of anywhere.
Yep.
As you know, and you like to joke with me, I am an attorney.
Yes.
And I do bankruptcy work.
Okay.
I specifically have a client that got scammed and catfished and lost about maybe $180,000.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Sensible person. You can talk to them. Like they know it's night and day. They mm-hmm. And I would say to them, so you didn't meet this person? And she's like, no. Did you talk to him on the phone? No. How the hell did you get to the point where you felt you were in a relationship that you're like, here's 30,000. Here's my credit card. God. Here's this. And this is not, this is one of my clients. I've heard it in millions of times in other hearings where I'll go and someone's been scammed out of money. And it's usually senior citizens, love interest that steal from them. And how they never catch these people, it's heartbreaking.
Yep.
And people just got to be, I hate to say it, can't trust anybody out there. Yeah. Really can't.
And that's brutal. Why when I do, and I do look at my messages on Facebook, and I know they try to get them off of that to this private, you know, whatever it is that they're using. And then they make up a fake one. And again, Facebook won't remove it. You can report it. It doesn't matter. They won't.
Yep.
There's a Twitter one that looks just like me. It doesn't matter. You know, I'd have to give my ID and look into the phone and get, they make you jump through. It's my identity and I got to jump through all these hoops to prove
exactly
me.
Yep.
You know, when can't you see this is being mirrored? He's not using the same name. He doesn't have the blue check or he didn't pay for it to be verified on Twitter.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? It's just remarkable, but it's just sad that people could be gullible.
Yeah.
I do the best I can with it, but all right. I don't want to bring everybody down.
It's okay. Go ahead.
But I do actually sometimes converse with them. I remember this one guy that wouldn't believe it really was me. And he wanted me to go live on a video. So you can see it. I go, dude, if you're not going to believe it's me, I'm not asking you for anything. I'm not showing you emoji hearts and everything. You know what I mean? It's me. I have no game here. I have to put something in the game. You don't want to believe it's me. I don't care. You know, I'm not going to do a cameo for you for free so you can see it's me. But anyway, Twitter's great. There's another way to see what I'm up to. Instagram, even though you can't do links and you got to post differently, learning how to handle social media, that's
a
full-time job, people. And I'm always guessing at which is the best way to share this and will a lot of people see it. I just wanted the fans to know that I do generally get to read. I mean, look, if there's a post that has a thousand comments, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I may not get to all of them, okay? But typically, you know, when I get a couple of hundred, I'm able to scroll through them and respond to something that means something or I want to clarify something. It is me. I have that interest. I loved how Paul's son, who had that great opening opportunity with his dad, you know, with that band. And I know a lot of the fans loved it. That was great.
Yep.
He was responding to everybody. Anyone wrote him, you know, he was totally engaging them. And I think he knew that would only help him. And I know a lot of people went to see him play when I think he did another gig in New York City after the Garden, you know,
mm-hmm.
He had a great crowd. And that's the way you build it. But I don't take my fans for granted. I do like to know what they think and I read their comments and I do try to chime in. I mean, it gets to a point where someone's just all of a sudden now they think you're, I'm their best friend.
And they
they'll ask inane questions, you know, like, how was your day? You know, what did you have for breakfast today? You know, I'm like,
So what did you have for breakfast today, Bruce?
Actually, today was it. I can't for some. Oh, you know, I made some scrambled eggs. You know, I
no pancakes. Yeah. What?
No. That was two days ago.
Lisa made pancakes, okay.
But I'll engage with the people, especially when I love when it's a gear question. Or they need for me to set the record straight about why am I wearing jeans base on that photo? You know what I mean? Explain that for the millionth time.
That's awesome.
Or why wasn't it you in Ace's makeup as the spaceman?
Oh, and God.
It's Tommy. I've narrowed that down to like two sentences now. I know what to do,
Yeah. Really?
But it's not easy. But yeah. So what can I say? I do get involved to a certain extent, and I do care.
Good.
You know, and the last thing I should make a mention, I mean, anything to do when I see how you guys tag me and things and get me involved. I like that community because they seem to be like-minded. People like Chris Jericho. And by the way, I'd like to do some things with Jericho in the future because he likes to delve into my Kiss era, right? We'll have that conversation sometime. But Chris is just a big supporter. And I now enjoy his wrestling because Lisa's son and I, we all went to see him, wrestle.
Nice.
I knew he got killed there, but it was a wonderful. They body slam into the barrier, I'm in the front row. I will never sit in the front row again. Knows that. I'm going to give away my ticket to somebody else and let them sit there. But there's just so much I can do with social media, and I want to do more content. I have a special ideas of other things that I can celebrate and get out there. But they can all reach me. There's emails on the websites and the offers that are coming in when they're legit. I mean, I'm not totally set up with the agent. But I do have a manager lawyer who can handle a lot of things. I'm just going to look at everything. Some things I can handle myself. Other things I know it's best when I have, legal representation.
Yeah.
Of course.
Good.
And I've always been win-win with what I do. So, and I'm pretty honest that, if something's just not right, and I'll tell you lastly, like someone offered before I even announced the, Grand Funk thing, a really big thing to do in South America. When I knew I would be free, I didn't know who else would be free. And I looked at it very seriously with my manager and we started kicking around, but, there were too many moving parts and it was too hard to guarantee that it was going to be, that even the guys that I was willing to play with could safely make it, that we'd have the right rehearsal time and then get and do that performance that I just had to say, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to just grab someone's money. I want to know that I can deliver. If you can understand that.
Totally.
That's real important. I have a high bar now that I need to protect because I've done shows like that on the cruise and Creatures Fest. And I hope you guys have seen some of the stuff I did with even Joey and Joe. And
Tom. Yeah.
That performance was solid. I have to do that.
Absolutely.
I need everything to be at that quality and I don't want to diminish that. So we'll see what it brings. I've already had some people offer things in Europe that I'll look at, but I don't know where it's going to take me. And the wonderful thing is that I can pick and choose and go the right way. So
awesome. He is Bruce Kulick, and what a way to kick off 2024. Bruce, you're the best. You reinforce it every time we talk to you. Thank you so much. Incredible stuff. We wish you nothing but the best in all your free time and a happy 2024 to you, buddy.
Thank you so much, guys. And I always follow you guys and wish you the luck on everything. And let's all let's continue to enjoy the band we love. Okay.
Yes.
I know I'm not going to, stay quiet. Okay. Because I want to celebrate it and continue celebrating it. And there's always new things to discover. There really is. And let's see what the future brings for all of us. So thank you again for the invitation. Thank you so much.
Bruce Kulick, class act. Thanks, Bruce. Tom, that was Hall of Famer Bruce Kulick. Thoughts?
Just incredible. I mean, me and you, whenever we do an interview, we very respectfully and casually try to like text each other about, the progress of the interview and who's going to ask a question and just kind of chatting. So we kind of monitor what's going on. We were just blown away at his honesty, how frank he was with us. And how respectful he was as he expressed his opinion. He wasn't being offensive or inflammatory. He was being emotional and heartfelt and honest. And telling the stories about what he felt about the end of the road, those final shows in New York, not being invited, all of that, the comments that Doc made. And then on top of that, just everything after that, his retirement from Grand Funk. and what he wants to do now post GFR, if I could say. He's just phenomenal. And that's why we love Bruce. He always says what's on his mind, and he says it with respect, with dignity, with class. And that's the word we always use, is class. Just an amazing, amazing interview. And we're just lucky enough to have him on here to share all that.
The thing that our listeners want to know, a little sneak peek.
Yeah.
Before we get him on. So before we hit record, we do a little small talk and things like that.
Yeah.
We kind of discussed this with Bruce, that what's off limits. And he said, nope, go right ahead. There was no topic off limit. There was no, you don't bring this up, you don't say this. I tried to make sure that, you know, that we got an honest answers out of him. I didn't really have to put that much effort. He was completely open and honest. He's not that type of person. He's not going to be like, this is fucking bullshit. Yeah, I'm fucking pissed off. He's not that type of person.
Nope.
And so I asked him, because, you know, the thing that I wanted to ask on my for me is like, Bruce, they did this shit. Were you angry or were you disappointed and hurt?
Mm-hmm.
And he gave us the honest answer.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that we would get that from anybody else. There wasn't bullshitting. There wasn't fakeness. It wasn't. He was completely honest. And you know what bothered him, like he said, is like, you know, I could have asked Eric to invite me, but I don't want me to kind of plant myself in there. Mm. I wanted the invite. And I think what bugged him the most, as I said to him, I believe Ace fucked it up for everybody. Once Ace went all fucking nuclear with Paul Eddie and all that shit and on Eddie, I think they were like, we're done with all of it. Let's not even bother. We're not going to negotiate with them. We can't deal with them. Fuck them. They're all out. We're not going to invite anybody. But I think what bothered him was he didn't get the invite to come. All right, great. You won't jump on stage with us, but you're invited as you were invited on the Hall of Fame. Come sit at the stage. Get a front row seat. Come here. Be interviewed. You know, whatever. They didn't do that. And it goes to show you how much, as Bruce said, they dropped the ball.
The other thing I like, too, is that he spoke not just as a former member of KISS. He spoke as a fan of KISS. And I really appreciate, again, his honesty about how he said, you know, what a missed opportunity. No mention of the band, no video montage, no photo montage, no, like, he's talking the way me and you talked, the way that all of our friends in New York City talked. So when you have a former member of the band, even he is honestly portraying what the fan said is like, guys, you missed a big opportunity. You kind of fucked up. I'm putting words in his mouth. He didn't say that. But even he is acknowledging you could have done so much more here and you just didn't do it.
I think he was more not for himself, but for Eric Carr, he mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly.
Like, they didn't even say anything for him. Like,
I
think he doesn't burn bridges. He's a class act all the way.
Absolutely.
And I find it fascinating what he had to say and what his future holds and the possible, you know, Bruce tour out there or Bruce music or Bruce new music.
Bruce new music. Exactly. Yep. And I love the fact that he is excited about the prospects of his future. I mean, God bless him. He's 70 years old. He left Grand Funk Railroad, but he's not getting ready to go sit in a rocking chair. He's got some stuff going on and we're excited for it because everything that Bruce does is fantastic. So I think that I got excited about that he's just not going to go and sail off into the sunset, that he wants to work on some things. And as fans, we can't wait for that.
Yeah, he's a class act. And by the way, happy 10-year anniversary to both Bruce and Lisa. Apparently,
that's right.
Today, as we're recording.
That's right. Happy anniversary. Yep, today's Thursday, January 4th. That's right.
God bless him. It goes to show you don't need all the money that Paul and Gene have to have a happy life, be a good person, and do all you're doing. And I wish some more members of KISS would emulate Bruce and stay on that classy kind of level and be as fan-friendly as Bruce's.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep.
So, well, we hope you enjoyed the interview. We know we were looking forward to it and so happy with the way it came out. Anyway, Tom, what we do next is we go to question of the week. New year, And we have an old friend coming back.
That's right. We have a returning friend and sponsor, the great Shout It Out Loudcast Hall of Famer Tony Barone, and his AB CPA Inc. is back for another tax season on Shout It Out Loudcast. We have personally used Tony. Zeus has used Tony for all of our tax needs, and you can get all of that and more from Tony. He's fantastic. You can visit his website at abcpainc.com. You go there. All of his information is there. All of the services that he offers, which is everything that you could need, financial planning, estate planning, tax preparation for businesses, for personal, payroll, you name it. He does it all. And Tony is the man. And we're so proud to have him as a friend and to do business with him as well.
Yeah, I send clients to Tony. He's fucking great. I will tell you this. People, when you reach out on the website, abcpainc.com, get his email, email him directly, tell him you're a Loudcaster. He'll take care of you.
Yep.
And with that, Tom, what is the question of the week?
Question of the week comes from Music Vampire, also known as Cody, I guess. This is a good question. I like this one. Usually when people send us questions a week, I kind of bank them. I don't use them right away, but this is a timely one. He says, now that it's a brand new year and we know that the first Kiss Avatar concert won't take place until 2027, what do you think will be the biggest news in Kiss World for 2024?
Gene Simmons tours with maybe Bruce. I'm not really sure if that's going to happen. But if not, Gene Simmons tours with some of the Shout Out Loudcast friends and family there plan. Todd Kearns, maybe a Brent Fitz, a Brent Woods, something like that. And he goes on tours and he plays all the songs that we wish Kiss would play.
Yeah, that you kind of stole my idea as well. I think Gene will be touring for sure. He loves to work. He loves to perform. He loves to have fun. He loves the fans. He loves giving the fans what they want. I think that will definitely happen. Other than that, I really think that this is going to be kind of a reset year for the band, for the members. We've talked about this in the past. Unfortunately, there's no more Off the Soundboard or deluxe box sets coming because of what's going on with the Kiss brand and Universal Music. And I know a lot of people are saying that next month in February of 2024, it's 50 years, if you can wrap your head around that, since the debut album. They released a colored vinyl for the 45th anniversary of it. They can't really do that again for the 50th. And they also can't really release a deluxe box set unless things get squared away. But I doubt it because it takes months to prepare those. So I don't know what we're going to get for that. But for Kiss proper, I think it might be kind of a quiet reset year, with the exception of Gene staying active. That's my opinion. Yeah, I think Eric is going to be quiet. I think Tommy's going to be quiet. And I think Paul just wants to go into hiding and tell us how to save money on our groceries.
Yeah, we'll find out soon enough.
Yep.
But the big news will probably for Kiss overall is Raise Your Glasses will be released as a book.
Boom. Absolutely. Yes.
Thank you for the question. It was awesome.
Great question, Cody. Great question. I'd love to hear what some other people think about that, too. So thank you.
Tom, where can people find us?
Our website's the place to go. ShoutItOutLoudcast.com. You can find all of our episodes there. You can listen to them right from the website. You can listen to all the Shout It Out Loudcast episodes, Dorm Damage, Album Review Crew, Zeppelin Chronicles. And you can comment directly right from the website, and we receive those in the form of an email. And if you want your question of the week, you can do that. You can send us an email at ShoutItOutLoudcast@gmail.com, or you can use the website, and we'll get that as well. You can also click on all of our social media links. You can click on our Amazon shopping page, our merch page, our Patreon page. Everything is there on our website, so please check that out. And of course, you want to go old school email. Like I said, it's shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. We read every single email that you send us. We might not be able to get to every one of them during the shows, but trust us, we read them all. And if you do happen to send us an email that you would prefer to be kept private, please specify that. We will respect your wishes. We won't read it on the air. And if you want to be part of our question of the week, send us that. I have a whole folder of questions. We go through them all the time, and it's part of our show every week. These next few ones, will be a special one because it'll be sponsored by our tax buddy, Hall of Famer Tony Barone, abcpainc.com. So check him out again. And you can also check out our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Please check out all those. And our Loudcasters Facebook page, too, which is growing. We're almost up to 9,000 members, which is amazing. So thank you.
Can we do
guys.
A public service announcement on that?
Oh, God. That could be a whole other Festivus episode.
Do you remember how we used to always laugh and be like, hey, look at the fucking guy on Three Sides is always so fucking trigger happy, fucking bitching about people. That thanks for making us like understand where they're coming from. Because
yep.
I'm telling you people now, the level of patience we have is gone.
It's gone.
The newbies that have come on have ruined what used to be such a fun fucking page. So
we're like a bouncer at a nightclub right now. That's what we are. We're a bouncer at a nightclub throwing out all the assholes.
Yeah. Oh, what are you listening to Kiss for? They suck. Then what the fuck are you doing here?
Why are you on? Kiss is a fucking clown band that untalented fucking losers. What would possess you to even follow us?
Yeah, like, am I going to go insane? Into like the Yarn Club's page and be like, Yarn sucks, you fucking old bastards. Like,
yeah, nice yarn, nice sweater you knitting, you nerd.
Like, I have no patience for it. So you're blocking people, you're declining comments. I'm blocking people, I'm declining comments. I'm not approving. And the people that are fucking think this is their marketing page for their fucking social media accounts.
It's not.
We're not going to fucking put 10 fucking posts of yours up every fucking day.
No.
Come on, no. People. Like, Loudcast is always so much fun for me where I go there and people with like-minded sense of humor and jokes and have a debate or discussion. Not this shit.
And the sad thing is, all the offenders probably aren't even listening to this right now. So, but you'll continue.
Move on. Some guy told me, move on. I'm like, it's my fucking page, asshole.
It's just brutal. It's brutal. But yeah, please, all that aside, please follow us on social media. Just don't be a dick.
Yeah, which is absolutely hard. I mean, we used to, now we have real problems. We used to have problems like, God damn it, fucking Tony Musalem and his new fucking hijacking of posts on stupid shit, mock fucking debates. Like, you know,
we welcome that now.
Yeah, those are the glory days. Where is Tony Musalem?
Like, he's on vacation. Like, all he does is post his pictures on a fucking cruise ship.
I swear to God, I think I just saw him post something earlier today. Like, hey, I'm going on the fucking Moore cruise. Here's some photos of last year's Moore cruise that he didn't post. I'm like, all you do is post photos of you on vacation. What are you talking about?
He can't post pictures unless the ocean's behind him.
Yeah, fucking. And he's got a sourpuss look on his face. He's got a beautiful girlfriend and he just like looks miserable. What the fuck, Tony?
We love Tony. How did he become part of the show this week? Jesus.
Because Christ. We used to bitch about him hijacking, and those are the glory days. I'll take that back any day.
But anyways, welcome new listeners. And yes. Zeus, go ahead. You have something to say, too.
Yeah, you can DM us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Yeah.
At least those are normal fucking stuff that we get. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel and give us one of those 5-star. Child reviews on Apple Podcasts. You do. We read them on the air. And obviously, we appreciate those. It's a big help to the show. So if you want to do that for us, we'd really appreciate it. Remember, you can always go to our website, as Tom mentioned, shoutitoutloudcast.com, shoutitoutloudcast.com. Tom, we always end on famous last words. We're beginning season 6. Let's do it. What do you got?
What's mine is mine. And yours is mine. Baby, just sign on the dotted line. You got 9 lives like an alley cat. Just stick with me, and I'll show you where it's at.
Woo!
Yeah.
And you don't know me, and I don't know me. I can't see you. You can't see me. Close my eyes and leave the world behind. I walk alone.
Oh, geez. I didn't even
Can't
think of
you
that.
See?
Good call. Good call. Good call.
Bruce Kulick, Piss Army, Loudcasters, Tom, season 6. Woo! We're here. Thank you.
Bruce Kulick, you are the man. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all of that information with us. We can't get enough of it. We can't get enough of you. You're the man. Loudcasters, you guys rock. Let's have a great 2024. Zeus, as always, my friend. Thank you.
Peace out, Girl Scout. Hit the music. What I'd like now is for all you fat, out of shape, worldwide kiss-tards to keep the noise down while I show your ladies what a real sexy man looks like.
Listen, all you people out there sitting on rented furniture, settle down.
Cut the music. Anybody see Richie? Anybody know why Richie did Bobby Lupo?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.